What are we talking about today, Brain?
I've missed that. Not just the cartoon, but our conversation, taking on the characters of the cartoon. The same thing we do every 2 weeks, Danny. Talk about how we're going to better the world.
Yay! Love it. Love it.
Okay, so today I'd like to talk about how we risk getting pulled into the coronavirus narrative. Does that make sense?
That's me. I'm that person. I'm so far in. It's bad.
Right. And whatever that means, because narrative, of course, is stories. And stories come from all angles. And then we interpret them. And often we put them out again. They come in, we interpret, we put out. Mm-hmm. But we can get sucked into particular stories. Mm-hmm. And we can start to create and promote our own stories. And we can find ourselves in our own emotional space around these stories. And it often, not just around coronavirus, but any narrative that's potentially consuming people, mm-hmm. we can find it very difficult to get out of that, whether it be the state of mind or the state of emotion or wherever else we find ourselves.
No, I'm so glad that you brought this up, because I have found myself on both sides of this coin. I have been into deep dark Reddit conspiracy situation with coronavirus, and I have been onto the news side and the things that the media are feeding us. And I'm just, at the moment, I'm not doing any of it anymore, and I don't even know what day it is because I don't look at my phone.
And there are two of the results of this is we try and take a neutral, multifaceted look at what's going on to remain unbiased, but then eventually, because of all of the information that we have, we can't help but forming our own opinion, and then by result we become biased, and then that's the story we try to tell and promote, sometimes passively, sometimes aggressively. I wrote a blog 2 or 3 weeks ago entitled "My Stepbrother Unfriended Me from Facebook."
Yeah, I saw that.
And he did. And the reason for that was because it became a coronavirus/lockdown debate on social media, to the extent that neither of us were showing up in our true ways, forgetting, especially me, and this is something I admitted to, that social media is a platform that represents us, and people will judge us or make up their minds about us. And if this were taken off social media and put into a lounge with people I'm close to and friends with and that I know, I would have done things very differently. But we get sucked into this trap, and it's very difficult to step back out and see it for what it is. So we're allowing it to shape our ways of being, which is the way I describe it. And if we look at what's legislated, well, that's fine, because if the rule of the land is that we have to wear a mask when we go out in public, then we have to abide by that. I get that. And that's fine. And everyone's trying to do the right thing, from a government down to worker bee. If it's the conversations that we find ourselves in, that's also fine, because it is the talk of the century, probably. You know, I don't think in my lifetime, I've probably not known a subject that is constantly a hot topic of conversation all the time, no matter who we're talking to. But then we start to get a little bit scared when we think about the language that consumes us around this topic.
Yeah.
So since the beginning, since before lockdown, just the social distancing period, we were using words like crazy, unprecedented times. Pandemic itself is a very, very strong word. We're used to words like endemic, but pandemic speaks so much more than that. And it goes beyond a conversation or a headline. It starts to infiltrate our minds and the way that we live.
Yeah.
To the extent that now, when we depart from a Zoom call, or if we're seeing people face to face, we end with the word "stay safe."
Yeah.
It's now on people's digital signatures on their email. It's become a way of life. At the most, my experience of this before was when people part and one gets in a car to drive back to somewhere else, we go, "drive safe."
Yeah.
But now it's "stay safe." It's in memes, it's in headlines, it's in signatures, it's in the vocabulary that we have every single day.
It's really scary when you put it like that. I I looked at it when I was, you know, when you read a signature, when you speak to someone and they say, stay safe. I'm like, oh, that's so nice. But actually, it's kind of terrifying that we're all worried about each other for the first time ever, yes. Which I mean is also great, but we're all worried about each other.
What is great that we are mostly in this together. But when we have language like this, it's because drive safe, you're getting in a car on a public road where there are other cars that could be driving recklessly or at high speed, or there could be drunk drivers. And we literally mean drive safely because we don't want you to die. So now we're saying, well, you're about to leave me and go somewhere else where there could be other germs and you could get sick and die. So our narrative in the way that we live our lives all the time, all day, is around staying safe, because that's driven by this fact that we, or at least it's believed that we could die. Mm. Well, we could. The debate may be around what the percentage chances are, and I have strong opinions in that regard. But the narrative is around the fact that there's something going on. It's topical. It's driven. There are agendas that are public and behind the scenes, and it's formed the way we're showing up in our everyday lives. Yeah. We're wearing masks. Like, everyone's wearing a mask everywhere. We're sanitizing all the time. I saw this guy at a mall the other day, level 3, by the way, don't shout at me, one of those foot dispensing sanitizers. And he was washing his hands under the outlet, and he was pumping this thing with his foot like a seamstress used to do in an old sewing machine. And this stuff was just flowing out. But he didn't clean his cell phone. So, you know, we can sanitize and wash our hands as much as we want, but we don't clean the things that we touch all the time. We self-isolate, we quarantine. We quarantine the healthy, not just the sick.
Yeah.
And, you know, everyone's quarantining or self-quarantining if they have any symptoms. And the temperature monitoring. And I actually had a situation the other day where I was filling out my form on entering a retail store with my details for tracking and tracing. And the guy just stuck the temperature gauge in my face. And I found it highly intrusive and offensive. And it became a situation with me and three people that wanted to kick me out of the store simply because I asked him to ask permission before he obtrusively sticks something in my face. And I think that...
Just to interrupt you, I'm so glad that you brought this up, Jason, because I find it very, very intrusive. I find it incredibly intrusive, and I would appreciate it if I was asked first. So I really like that you brought that up.
Yes, and that's basic manners. You know, if I want to kind of, if I want to do anything with anyone, I'd ask permission. And it could have, everything could have changed when he just said, if he just said, do you mind if I take your temperature? And of course, I wouldn't have minded. It's law. And on top of this, this being the language and the actions, we've got the exposure that we have to the media, who are reporting stats over and over and over. In my office building, we have a TV at reception. And almost every time I walk by it, there's either talk of coronavirus, contractions, deaths, and or the ticker tapes are running at the bottom, or there's a screen up, which is kind of showing them it's being displayed. And we have government statements, directives, the lockdown itself, and the law around us. So we can't get away from it. It's like air. It's there, and it's not going away. We are living with it. Our president even said that this virus is not going away, and we will have to learn to live with it, and people will die, and we will have a spike, but then it will taper off. Mm. So the thing with the media is that sensationalism sells. If the media turned around and said, well, you know, it's actually okay, then what are they going to have at large? And I'm not criticizing all media, but at large, we're seeing the portrayal of certain statistics, which are frightening. But then compare those with other statistics, which have never really been put into the foreground, and neither are they frightening. Like, well, they might be frightening, but they're comparable, like flu and TB. But we're not listing and acting around the numbers of murders and rapes and domestic violence.
Yeah.
We're just talking about this virus.
Yeah. And also, I think a lot of the, Maybe the darker side of the feeling spectrum here is exactly on that, is that I've seen a lot of the comments, which is now why I'm not on Facebook anymore. A lot of the comments were around that. Why are we policing a smoker harsher than we would police a rapist or a murderer or, you know, someone who's actually really done something terrible to someone else? And I also found myself being drawn into that. And that's why I kind of distanced myself completely. But going forward, how do you manage to read it, stay informed, take in the information, and not get caught up in it? How can you even?
Well, we all can, because we have choice. We don't have to go onto the media channels. We don't have to listen to the news. We don't have to go on social media. We don't have to read every detail of every article. We don't have to choose between what's real media or real news and fake news. We have a choice in every way that we show up. So I think that it's very important that we focus on ourselves and what we can control. I've been speaking a lot lately within groups of people about this old concept called spheres of control. If you can imagine concentric circles, and you're in the middle because you have complete control and influence over who you are, what you take in, your interpretation of that, and what you put out. But as you go further and further out from the innermost circle, you lose influence and control. You could take it as far as like international politics and governments. We really have absolutely no control of what's happening in that regard. So what's important is for us to focus on our own personal goals, which shouldn't really have changed that much. The way that we go toward them and achieve them, in other words, the strategies and the actions we take, might shift. We're talking a lot about pivoting. There might be a pivot. So the goal still sits where it is, but we might just take another route to get there. We have to really balance this exposure as well, because to take a position and then fight for that is fair, and I appreciate it when people do it, but if it's at the detriment of other of relationships with other people, we've just got to understand how we come across. We have to trust our gut. It's very important. So to the extent that how much we sanitize, where and to what degree and for how long, and we wear the masks, we just got to think about that very carefully. We want to avoid really being sheep. We want to stay within and act within the realms of the law, but be independent thinkers, natural or neutral observers versus having adopted biases. We want to be open-minded versus closed and flexible versus rigid. And we probably have to ask the question as often as possible, does this make sense? And that's when the conflict arises over the cigarette ban, for example, is none of this makes sense. And I was speaking to a friend last night who's got clients within the ANC, and her clients are saying, we are ANC and we have no idea what's happening in government with regard to these things, for example, the smoking or the cigarettes. It just doesn't make sense. We can act in certain ways to a point. Obviously, we have to respect and abide by the law. But we've got to maintain our own independent thought and ask questions. Many of us were taught at school from the school going age when we were kids that we must question everything. Yeah. We mustn't just take things as they come. And the example that was always given then was, if someone jumps off a cliff, are we going to immediately jump off it as well just because they did?
Yeah, I remember
so,
that.
Yes, I think a lot of people listening will remember that. And ultimately, we really don't want to live in fear. We really want to live with optimism. The thing is, though, that it's more difficult to be optimistic than it is to just get on that bandwagon of fear, because optimism requires a large degree of grit, the ability to build capacity, to have strength within ourselves, and be resilient to everything that's going on and happening around us, versus the fear that can spread like wildfire, the herd mentality. We risk going into a downward spiral, because if we get caught up in the sensationalism around us, there's really no end to it. And also, the fact is that fear lowers the immune system, which is the last thing we want right now.
I'm listening to you speak, and it's almost as if you know what's going on in my head. It's so weird. So that just must mean, and I actually was having this conversation with someone else this morning earlier. It just reaffirms the fact that no experience on this earth is unique, and all we need to hear is that someone else is also living through these feelings and these thoughts and these situations, and then we suddenly feel validated over unique, and then that's better. It's so strange. Humans are weird.
we are, and we're so diverse as well, which is why we get into arguments over differences of opinion, because we all see the world through our own lenses, and we all have different structures of interpretation. So whatever we're exposed to enters into our head, our heart, and our body, and how we interpret it through those different domains has a different output. So we can argue in three basic levels, and then we can exponentially break that out to a whole lot of different categories. So we could even show up in one day and have an opinion, or five, and show up in another day and have 10 completely different opinions. And we are allowed to do that as well, because we learn. There's more information, there are more people speaking up. It doesn't make it any simpler. But I think what we need to be aware of is how we're showing up in different situations, at work, at home, with friends, with family. Like, I became acutely aware of how I was for a day or two showing up on Facebook with very, very strong opinion, which is why my stepbrother unfriended me. So, we're talking about the narrative around coronavirus, and which has to do with the stories. So it's the stories we're hearing, the stories we're buying into, and the stories that we're creating and perpetuating. And the more aware of those facts and the actions around them we are, the more we can control ourselves. And we want to be in acceptance that we have total control and influence over ourselves, because then we're able to move forward. You know, this lockdown hasn't been entirely, it's been, and I'm all over the place right now as I think, because the statement from the Board of Actuaries came out last night, who have run the numbers, and they said that the original projections by the South African government was 375,000 cases, recently revised down to 40,000, but realistically, according to the Board of Actuaries, it's probably around 10,000, and the speaker was saying even less. So that skews everything. But whether it's the virus or lockdown, all of this has happened and is happening. And there have been unfortunate results, like the implosion of the economy. And we can go on and on and on about this. We could also look at the protective benefits and the lives that were saved, and the immunocompromised and the elderly who have been educated and informed so that they can avoid contracting the virus and they can live longer. But there are also benefits indirectly that we as a global society have and are learning from what's been going on. That we can look back 2.5 months and realize that this was a rat race. It is a rat race, but now we have clarity that we can see that we were living in a rat race. The pace and speed at which we move is not necessarily good for us as human beings. This has given us the opportunity to slow down and take a breath, and the skies have cleared, literally, because the smog has dissipated to a large extent, or did. And we can see the world and life with more clarity for what it is. We have been spending time with family and with kids, and whether that's been good for everyone's psyche or not, it has allowed us to see the importance of relationships.
Yeah.
And not being able to be in close contact with friends over this time has allowed us to see the need for those friendships as well. I was speaking to someone earlier that's a self-confessed introvert, and she said that she's happy to be back at work because she needs people, even though she's a quiet person.
Yeah.
So introvert, extrovert, it doesn't matter. She needs people. The roads being quiet has been unbelievable. I've realized how much more calm and contained I am when I'm not foreseeing traffic on my way to the office or on the way back home. I know I have all this time. And And the benefits are of, like, you know, do we have to work at the office? Can we work from home? Can we work from anywhere? Do we have to be face to face, or can we do things in different ways or mix it up? And whatever the new normal looks like, we have the opportunity, or we have had the opportunity, to test so many theories around it. And my belief, maybe I'll have my one of my conclusions on this, is that the new normal is exactly what we want it to be. As individuals, we have a glimpse of what society and legislation and all of that is going to look like. But as we go into this new normal, questioning what it may be like, well, that's 100% up to us.
Mm. You're right about the choice thing. I think it's very, like, this is going to sound so excusey, but it is difficult, right? It's difficult to make the positive choice always, because the negative ones and the feelings that are associated with them, they're just easier to do and to deal with, as much as the feelings suck. And it does, it's not good for anyone to be in that headspace. But to make a positive choice and to show up positively, it does definitely take some work.
It does, because when you're in a circle of people that moaning, it's easier to moan.
Oh,
it's hard
sure.
to walk away, and it's hard to stand up and go, hey, guys, but what about the benefits of this?
Which is exactly why I'm so proud and stoked. And also, like, when you were telling the story about the thermometer, I was proud and stoked. But then I was also like, he's so brave for standing up for himself. I would have just stood in the line and just, like, taken it, you know, even though I feel like it's super intrusive. And I
yes.
am a person with anxiety who has issues around personal space and who and how I allow people in. And it just, it's, I find it incredibly scary every time I have to get my temperature taken, which, I mean, is a personal thing, but just to know that it's almost as if you're giving me permission to show up and say, no, I'm not this way, please. You know, without being mean about it, you can. And it's also almost as if you've given us permission to now look at our social media and look at the way we consume news and emails and all of this nonsense that is out there from a different mm-hmm. place, maybe.
Yeah. Are you familiar with the concept of flow from a psychological point of view?
No,
very, very simple. So very simply put, at least in the context of this conversation, flow is giving yourself the opportunity to be open-minded, to let, for example, emotion come in and let it go out. So you want to be in flow. You don't want a negative thought to come in and fester for an undetermined amount of time, because that puts you in a negative mindset. Mm. So there's nothing wrong with being emotional. We don't want to pull ourselves or people out of emotion and go, no, you can't be emotional. We're allowed to be emotional. We're allowed to scream. We're allowed to cry. But we want to be in flow so that whatever's going on comes in, we deal with it, and then it goes out. And I was thinking this morning about the old concept of gold panning. You from Brakpan, maybe you know this. So for those of you who don't remember what gold panning is, the way that gold was mined at surface level a very, very long time ago was that they'd dig up clumps of earth, and they would put it in a sieve-like pan, and they would let water flow through it, and all of the sand would go out, and if there were any nuggets of gold, they would be left behind. And this is how I see that we should be in flow. Is there's a lot going on, there's a lot of emotion, a lot of theories, a lot of biases, a lot of opinion, and we're exposed to it all. So let us be, within reason, because we want to control what we let in, but let it flow in and let it flow out. And what's left behind may be a well-constructed opinion. It also may be not gold, but a different type of nugget, a nugget of learning, a nugget of being, a nugget of showing up in a different way, a nugget of remembering our values. And if we can do that, then I think that we'll come out of both the, let's use the word pandemic, the pandemic, the lockdown, the viral infection that we have the risk of getting, better people.
Mm.
Be in flow and let the gold nuggets remain behind.
You are the wisest person I think I know. I'm really glad that I've known you through this pandemic. Even when you're fighting with your stepbrother on social media.
You invite me to come on, I think of a few things to say, and it all works out.
I just want to quickly go back to somewhere in there in the middle. You were talking about your goals can remain the same. You just need to pivot. And that was the one question that I had for you today, because it's been definitely something that's been underlying in conversations I've had over the last week. Lockdown level 3 is happening. People are going back to work. No motivation. Don't want to do it. This year is over. It's a write-off. Maybe the question is, how do we find the energy that we started it off with now in the middle of it, when people are kind of going, well, this year's a write-off anyway, why even bother?
Make your goals bigger. Look, you can't write the year off. You know, it's like December, where people go, oh, it's December, it's all right, it's over. But we'll start again in January. That is a typical South African mindset. In other countries in the Southern Hemisphere where they have hot summers, it's not quite the same. It's just funny that we have this thing where we write December and January off. Mm. We can't write the rest of the year off. Our economy is in a very, very, very bad space. Businesses are firing. I'm not even using the word retrenching. I'm saying they're firing 50% of their staff, knowing that the CCMA is going to be inundated for at least the next 12 months before anything even gets onto the list of cases. And the courts can deal with them, and then they'll hire the people back. So they've effectively saved 6 months of salary, because that's the only thing that they can do to save the business. So when anyone's saying this year's a write-off, I want to stay home, I don't want to go to work, and if I do, I'm not going to do anything, they in their own individual way are negatively affecting the economy. We need people to work and work hard and commit and pay their tax, because if we don't do this, if this economy does not get the cogs of its machine moving again, we are going to be in so much deep trouble that is almost unfathomable. I think it was 4 weeks ago, economists were talking about this economy taking 6 weeks to recover, 6 years to recover. Let me say that again. 4 weeks ago, economists were saying that at that time, it will take 6 years for this economy to recover. The job losses, the suicides, hospitals are sitting empty because people are too scared to go there. People are dying at home because their symptoms of heart attacks are not taking them to the hospitals. And the deaths are obviously much, 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 much lower than previously expected. So going back to goals, you think about this. We've seen a lot of marriages happening during lockdown. Their goal was to get married. They couldn't get married with a lot of people at a venue. So they ended up having a different kind of marriage. They stayed home, they got a marriage officer on Zoom, and they had all their friends dial in. Now that's the goal remaining, they just did it in a different way. With sales targets and businesses, for example, whenever there's a crisis, like an economic crisis, so many companies revise their sales targets downwards. That's the wrong thing that can happen. You can't perform at a lower level when there's a crisis. You need to keep the economy going, to have the business survive. You need to keep pushing toward the original target, which is now more important because there's a crisis. So where companies are saying, let's revise targets downwards, what they have to do is revise actions upwards. They need to take more action in pursuit of the original target. Now, pivoting it's very popular right now, but it makes sense, because if you think of the physical action of a pivot, you're putting down your front foot and then you're leaning into it and then you're stepping back away from it. Yeah. You might still be going ultimately in the same direction, but you're taking a different path. Now, whether you own a business or whether you work for a business, you still need to sell services and product. That can't change. If the targets are revised much lower, if staff don't show up, that business will not be around. It won't be around. Imagine the chefs and the waiters at a restaurant. Let's hope they come back online one day. Said, it's over. The year's over. That restaurant will go bust. There's no business.
Yeah. Okay. I get it. I get, like, when you said make the goal bigger, I was like, I can't even. Small one.
I was pushing the point.
Yeah, I know. Now I get it. Now I get it. Because when you.
Right. So let's not go and make the goal bigger, but let's. Let's stick with the original goal, but find other ways of attaining it.
Yeah, but like not make it any smaller, because then what is the point of even trying then, right? True.
Yes.
You are smart, Jason Burnick. Born.
So Danny P, there was something you wanted to raise as well.
No, that was it. That was my question. How do we...
No, earlier, before we got on the coronavirus narrative.
No, that was it. It just happened.
Oh, really?
It fit in really well. Yeah.
Oh, great. Okay.
Yeah, wait.
Well, you know, I would love to continue talking. Where are we? Feels like we've used the time.
We are about 30 minutes in.
Okay. So please, for anyone that owns a gold panning sales business, don't expect your sales to rise. It was an analogy, and most people don't really have any use for a gold pan.
I mean, I'm from Brakpan. You never know.
That's why you have all those heels there, because they've panned it all already.
Is that, I don't know if I should believe you or not. If this is fake news, fake news, right?
Well, I mean, all the hills around Benoni, Boksburg, well, Joburg South, you know that those hills are mine dumps, right?
Yes. Our mine dump was recently taken away and they didn't ask us if they could. And we're all very upset about it because it was a landmark.
I believe there are also mountain biking trails and there are also sand duning or sandboarding opportunities.
Yeah, well, we didn't have those kinds of things when I was growing up 150 years ago. We just used to take cardboard boxes and walk up the mountain, up the mine dump, and then you just slide down on the cardboard box.
Yeah, I think it's still done. I did one in Namibia with a piece of cardboard. They didn't give us a snowboard. It was a piece of board.
Yeah. Best fun.
Well, this was fun.
Are you done or did I like steal too much of your time today? I don't know.
I can't be done until I say be safe.
You are so extra. I love you. I love this.
Be safe. Stay safe. Drive safe.
And wash your hands. Wash your hands.
And your cell phone. And your steering wheel.
Do you just want to keep going? I'll just keep recording.
Good. Goodbye, Danny P. Thank you so much.
Bye, Jason Beam.